Hello, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice, an independent streaming internet radio station, and broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Monday, March 3rd, 2008. It's now 8:02 p.m. Central Standard Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our liberty, and our rights. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now on to our program. Folks, during our broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or you can send us email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Hold on, I think we have someone on the air. Whoop, hold on. Caller, you're on the air. Caller? You're on the air. Oh, not there, are you? Okay. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. It's mytwocentsonline.com. That two is a numeric two. Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. If you see the way the price of gold is going, the price of oil is going, the price of commodities is going, and the weakness of the dollar, folks, you need to listen to what Andy Sutton has to say. Please subscribe to his free newsletter. And also, he has a paid subscription that gives very specific recommendations that can help you out personally. Please do so. Also, I encourage you to go to my subscribe section of my website so that you can be updated on when our next program is. We won't send you any garbage email, no advertising, no nothing. Just a little notice telling you when our next program will be and what the general subject will be. So please do subscribe. Just go to a website, press subscribe, and you'll be there. Also, it's really interesting. Recently, the website that's been getting on our archives the most hits has been the Real ID program, together with the interview that I had with George Phillies, who is the libertarian running for president. He must have a very active campaign if my website is getting a lot of hits because of that. So I wish him luck. I really wish any libertarian luck at this point. Folks, I have a couple of emails that I'd like to read to you. The first one says is here from, let's say, Jim. He says, "I just heard your rebroadcast of the Dumbing of America and felt that it was the best one I've heard you do since I've been a listener." Well, thank you very much. Right. I'm going to skip the middle because it's quite a lengthy email, and I do want to get to some other areas. So I want to read you this. He says, "I really wish I had time to write my thoughts here fully, but this would require me to write a book on the subject. I am 55 years old, and I remember when I was young, when I was a young person, that even most folks in my small hometown were interested in reading and knowledge, even if they were not educated in a formal way. If nothing else, people in my hometown taught themselves to read so they could read newspapers, books, and magazines. Yes, it is hard to even try to carry on an intelligent conversation with coworkers, acquaintances, or relatives these days. I have no idea where this will lead, but it can't be good. Sincerely, Jim." Jim, thank you very much for your email. I agree with you 100%. I believe the reason why we have this mentality is because people have the option, the alternative to reading. And the alternative to reading is simply listening to the television or watching the television. And in doing so, they turn their minds off. And I know when I speak to people about what is going on in current events, they sound like TV sound bites. They say exactly what is being said on TV. There's no original thought. There's no rational thinking. And then if you suggest that maybe thinking, you know, that something else may be the cause of something, they get angry because they know, I think internally they know that they have not done their homework. They really don't know. They're just mouthing off, and it requires a lot of work and effort on their part. Reading is effort, and we don't make the effort any longer to read. Now, they say, well, people don't read books today, but they're on the internet. And I'm not talking about reading just a line or two. This is reading sound bites, and that's of absolutely no value. I mean sitting down and reading. I admit, I am a poor reader. When I read, it takes a lot. I consume a lot of calories. It takes a lot of effort for me to read. And yet, that's the only way that I learn. In fact, the more I have to concentrate, the more I have to be alone in a quiet room and read something of value, the more difficult it is, the more I learn. Now, at my age, I'm not going to get much faster reading, regardless, and I read all day long now. And I wish I was more disciplined when I was young, because I would be able to absorb so much more today. Anyway, thank you very much, Jim. I have here an email that was sent to me a couple of weeks ago, and I said about a week ago, rather, and I said I would answer it after I did some research, and I'd like to read this to you. This is critically important. This one is from MB. Okay, MB. And he says, I wrote you a few weeks ago regarding your membership in the ACLU, to which you responded, what don't you like about them? I have hundreds of reasons, but below is just one. I could pull hundreds of these. I really like your show, but I really hate the sick, evil ACLU, which you claim you are a member of. Here's just one of ACLU's recent evil attempts to allow felons to vote. Felons would vote Democratic, of course, he says. Their attempt is to call the laws that prevent felons and former felons to vote a poll tax. This, of course, is transparent in its stupidity. What percentage of ACLU members are Democrats? Want to fashion a guess. Best regards, MB. MB, I thank you for listening to my program. And remember what I said about this. I mentioned that most people vilify or disagree or are angry at the ACLU because they hate the decisions that they make. The decisions that they make on the surface always appear to be on the wrong side of the fence. They appear to be unconscionable. Now, I'd like to quote my wife. My wife said something once that was absolutely, I wouldn't say, brilliant's not the word, but actually provoking, mind-provoking, thought-provoking, rather. And what she said is, she says, every time I hear a decision by the ACLU, I get angry. I hate to listen to hear their decisions. And then she followed up with this comment. She said, but unfortunately, they're usually right. And that could not sum up the ACLU's position better. In fact, they should make my wife the poster child for the ACLU. Or at least that comment should be the poster comment for the ACLU. Because when they make decisions, people take the decisions on the surface, and as a result, boy, it sounds horrible. Now, in this case, folks, and let me just summarize, I'm not going to go through the whole case. This is where a convicted felon served his time in jail, did not pay his child support, and I wasn't sure this particular case if he was in jail because of child support, but I'm not sure, and that's immaterial. But when he got out of jail, he was behind on his child support, right? And the ACLU and the municipality wanted to take his right to vote away until he paid child support. Now, the ACLU contends that by taking his right to vote away because he did not pay child support is tantamount to being a poll tax, and that's unconstitutional. And they are correct. Now, I am not saying that I agree that people should be felons. No, I do not think that people should be felons. I do not agree that people should not pay their child support. However, you cannot link someone's behavior to their voting. Now, if a person has been incarcerated, and during the time that they're incarcerated, they may lose their constitutional right to vote. And I think that is the case, I believe. It still is the case, right? Now, that's one thing. But once a person has served their time and they come out, you cannot judge a person's right to vote based on their actions. Let me give you an example. Let's say, MB, you were caught speeding and you didn't pay your speeding ticket. And they put out a warrant that you had to come in and pay for your speeding ticket. Now, and let's assume you didn't pay it. Would that mean that you would lose your right to vote? No, that just meant you didn't pay your speeding ticket. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get fined for it, or you may even spend, 30 days in jail. But, they cannot take your right to vote away for it. I mean, those are two totally separate issues. And I think what the ACLU is saying, and what the ASU typically does, is they want to protect the rights of everyone. Because if they take the right of this person, this felon, felon who has served his time, by the way, if they take his right to vote away, then anyone's right can be taken away for any other reason. And that's the reason for our Constitution. It cannot be taken away. Your right to vote is not linked to your status in the community, to whether or not you have parking tickets or not, whether or not you speed or not, or whether or not you're a nice guy or not. Your right to vote is your right to vote as a citizen. Now, your right to vote may be taken away under very specific circumstances allowed by the Constitution. This ain't one of them. Now, I don't like felons. I don't like people who don't pay their child support. But I do not deny that person the right to vote. I think the person then should be picked up and thrown back into jail for not paying support, whatever they do if you don't pay your child support, or wages should be garnished or whatever. But you cannot apply a monetary a requirement, on someone as condition of voting. That is a poll tax. So you see, MB, as despicable as it sounds, the ACLU does take cases of people who are absolutely despicable. And that's why they're disliked so much. But you have to look at the underlying cause for their action. And in this case, I'm sorry, I don't want to lose you as a listener. Please don't leave me, but please understand that they are two separate issues. Okay, now on to our program. Earmarks. During these debates, we call them debates, or whenever we discuss things with the candidates running for president, the things that are brought up are kind of silly. I mean, none of them of any substance whatsoever. We don't discuss. Every time I listen to Hillary, especially, and Obama primarily, they say it's time for change, and I'm the person that can do it, and I'm the person who cares, and we're looking for change, and Ohio will do better, and everyone cheers. But they did just lose these platitudes constantly, and they never mention anything of substance, nothing of value. The questions are never asked, for example, about earmarks. I mean, how come the moderators at these debates don't ask Hillary, how many earmarks did you attach to the highway transportation bill or to the defense bill? And did these earmarks go to specific companies who have bids or any ties to your campaign? Have any of the earmarks gone to people who have provided you with large campaign contributions? Why don't they ask that question? Because that would, you know why? Because it would be embarrassing. And if they did the same thing with Obama and the same thing with McCain. Now, what earmarking is that usually there's legislation they appropriate, for example, Congress appropriates so much money to be allocated to, let's say, highways, right? The highway bill. Now, during the discussion phase of that, the development stage of that bill, you know, that's really the time that they should be saying, well, you know, in that highway bill, I think very specifically we should have a road going from here to there in my state, because that, and they give a reason for that and justify it, and then it gets thrown in the bill. But they don't do that. They wait till the conference phase. That means after the legislation has already been drafted, right? They call a conference stage, which means they just go over the whole thing. They review it, right? And that's the time that they submit the earmarks. Now, these earmarks are just specific appropriations for very, very specific, the infamous Bridge to Nowhere in Alaska that went to $223 million bridge, and there were only 50 people who were involved on that particular island. I mean, that's, that gives you an idea, right? And there's many like that. So what this is, this gives the politician the opportunity to appropriate monies to a very, very specific project where there are specific people who will be involved in fulfilling that project, contractors or whatever. Now, the way that works is that, you know, at one time they just be just a few lobbyists in Washington. Now there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lobbyists, and they specialize. They specialize on highways in certain states and certain areas and stuff like that. And they and what they do is a lobbyist gets paid to go to Congress and say, "Hey, we want this done." Right, and this will cost $50 million or $500 million, and you know, this highway or this building or this program, usually garbage programs. I mean, they're garbage programs because they never passed on their own muster. Right now, what happens is the people who are benefiting, so the congressman just throws it in. He doesn't even have to use his own name. He can put it in anonymously. There's an anonymous bill to build a bridge, and it gets passed. No one questions it. And the reason why no one questions it is because if someone questions his, they're afraid that someone's going to question, you know, in reverse. If they're going to question mine, then I'm going to question theirs. And then if they're all questioned, nothing will get done. So everyone's quiet about it. No one ever throws an earmark away in fear that their earmark may be thrown away. Well, what happens? The lobbyists may get paid $5,000 or $10,000 a month by this one particular group or special interest group. Now, they represent several. These guys make millions of dollars every year. Some of them do. Some of them only make a few hundred thousand dollars a year, the Yale cheapo ones. So they go there, and they're usually Washington insiders, people who have worked inside, are now out, and have a segue back into the system. Let's say someone who's worked, you know, worked in the Senate, not as a senator, but worked as an assistant, worked as a counsel, worked as a consultant, somebody who's worked on the inside of the Beltway. Now they leave, and now they know everybody there. You know, they can go up to anybody and say, "Hey, Bob, how are you? You know, hey, Jim." You know, they can walk in, and everyone knows them, and they know the ropes. And they sit down, and they say, "Look, you know, we need, you know, $50 million for this, this, and that." Well, what that means is that if the congressman puts in that earmark, and this company gets $50 million to build this building or this program, or the school gets this program, then all of a sudden, when this guy runs for office, guess who gets a hell of a lot of money? Well, this money comes flying back into their campaign. Now, the problem with that is that this is all self-serving. So the people who are approving the earmarks, who are initiating the earmarks, the ones, the senators and the congressmen, this can be the House of Representatives or the Senate, right? Either the senator or the congressman, that person is going to get a hell of a lot of money, you know, for the next campaign. Well, if you're not in Washington, you're already at a disadvantage because this guy already has millions of dollars coming in, you know, from these companies that monies have been appropriated to. So they're scratching each other's back constantly, back and forth. Now, this bypasses the needs of the state or the city. Now, the city or the state, they're the ones that need to know what they need. And let's say they need $100 million to refurbish roads and fix the bridges up. Well, that money now is spent. It's spent on this earmark. They don't have the money anymore. Now, the senators and the congressmen argue that they know their state better than anyone else. That's why they do it, you know, because no one knows their state better. And that's hogwash. They're doing it so they can have some money for their next campaign. Earmarks are not unconstitutional, unfortunately. They have been found to be constitutional, but they should be done away with because it corrupts the system. And I want to read you a statement here. This is from the SourceWatch encyclopedia, and it says, earmarking is a term used to refer to a provision in legislation that directs funds to be spent on specific projects. This differs from appropriation of money to a particular government agency. There are a couple of comments in here that I want to make. Here it is. Here. Senator Tom Coburn. I have to give Tom Coburn some credit because he does harp on government waste. You know, he's a Republican from Oklahoma. You know, don't agree with him much, but I mean, he does fight waste. That's one thing he does do. He says, for example, he's called earmarking a gateway drug for spending addiction. And that's exactly what it is. Once it starts, it just balloons, and it's getting worse and worse. Just about 20 years ago, you'd find 5 earmarks. Now you'll find, in a highway bill, now you'll find 6,413. Well, that's the way they're spending all their money. People are saying, why are our bridges falling apart? How come no one fixes our bridges? Well, that's because all the money is being spent on earmarks so these bums can get reelected. Now, there's a lot of legislation that has been passed. There's several pieces of legislation that have been passed, you know, to make earmarking more transparent. But they don't work because there's a fundamental flaw in that whole system. Now, here's the way you clean up the system, folks, is what you do is, number one, there are no such thing as earmarks, number one. Number two, we stop sending money to the federal government. The federal government should not have this money to reappropriate out. Now, why should we send money to the federal government so the federal government can take this money and give it back to us? And in fact, they don't give it back to us. They give it to the politicians so they can have their pet projects so they can get money, get reelected. So we should stop sending money to the federal government. When the state collects money, it should stay with the state and it should be used locally. Everyone should know what's going on. There should be total transparency there. So you break all that silent cycle of addiction. Now, the third thing you do is that you have term limits on everyone in office. A congressman serves 2 terms. 2 years? 2 years once. Not 2 years 400 times. A senator, he serves, what, 4 years? Once. But because once, when they're in office just once, they're not looking for money to get reelected. Our system of reelection breeds all of this. If I know that I have to be reelected and I know it's going to cost me, you know, $20 million at least to run my campaign, I don't have $20 million. I can't go out every day and ask people to send in checks for $10 for my campaign for $20 million. I have to rely on the big boys, and I do that via earmarks. So if we stop sending money to Washington, if we have one-time term limits, right? Yep, and we do away with earmarking altogether, right? That's the way you clean up the system. And yet, during the debates, do you think that any of the politicians are saying this? Oh no, they're just calling for change. Change means changing the process of which earmarks are appropriated, money's appropriated via the earmarks, which means absolutely nothing changes whatsoever. I find that despicable. I find that unconscionable. And how Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John McCain could look at the American people and say anything that smacks of helping America, making things better, they have to have absolutely no conscience whatsoever. And let me go on record by saying that I am not voting. If Ron Paul is not going to be on the ballot, I am not voting for president. And I plead with everyone out there, protest, don't vote. That's the only way we're going to clean up this mess, is if everyone stays home and no one votes. That's the way it should be. Anyway, enough is enough. Enough of that. Okay, it's almost time for us to go off the air. There's articles here. I direct you to Common Sense, CommonDreams.org News Center. And here's one, January 29, 2006, the Los Angeles Times, by the way. This is it's on CommonDreams.org. But this is a Los Angeles Times article, earmarking a win-win for lobbyists and politicians. And it says, thousands of lobbyists now earn their keep by seeking rifle-shot appropriations for a particular client rather than lobbying for programs and policies affecting the entire industry or sector. The earmarking strategy has long been derided as pork barrel spending and decried by critics such as John McCain. But he doesn't do anything about it. He puts in legislation, you know, but it doesn't go anywhere. And these guys know it's not going to go anywhere. But when they run for office, they can say, but I've been fighting for this, you know. Garbage. Critics say that earmarks, often inserted into bills at the last minute without public scrutiny or even notice, are an invitation to corruption because they allow all lawmakers to cater to moneyed special interests without accountability. And that's what I've been talking about. Folks, we have a problem, a tremendous problem. And the problem all emanates from our own government. Not our form of government, but the people in our government. Until we learn that things truly have to change in a revolutionary manner, nothing will. Look at the price of oil. Look at the price of gold. Look at the cost of the war in Iraq. Look at this empire that we have. And look at the demise of our democracy. That's horrible. Absolutely, absolutely horrible. Okay, folks. That is the end of tonight's broadcast. And we'll be broadcasting again on Thursday morning. I don't know what our subject of conversation will be because I just came back from Taos. And it was a nice little vacation. That's why we did not broadcast on Sunday. But we will be broadcasting on Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. This is the end of today's broadcast. Well, I guess it's tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Rate Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. And remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, Thursday, 6:30 a.m., we'll be being live again for another half hour. Stay well. Stay tuned. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio.